Okay, Bible and Daily Lifers, we are in another great chapter, classic chapter in the Gospel of John. Let's see how far along we can get in it, because this is just wonderful, wonderful stuff that's going on here. So John chapter 11. Now, a man was sick, Lazarus, from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Martha was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair, previous account found in the gospel. And it was her brother Lazarus who was sick. So the two sisters and a brother, the brother's sick. The sisters sent a message to Jesus. They were friendly with Jesus. And they said, Lord, the one you love is sick, Lazarus. Lazarus, the friend of Jesus, a friend of Jesus. When Jesus heard it, he said, this sickness will not end in death, but is for the glory of God, so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it, through this illness. God could be glorified through an illness. Boy, we could camp out there for a while, couldn't we, and unpack that. Now, Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. He loved the family. He loved that family. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place that he was. And then after that, he said to his disciples, let's go. Now he waits 2 days. He hears that his friend is sick, and he waits 2 days to go. Rabbi, which means teacher, the disciple said to him, just now the Jews tried to stone you, and you're going to go there again? Well, Jesus isn't afraid of what they're going to do. Nobody's going to take his life until it's his time for him to give up his life. And he said, aren't there 12 hours in the day? Jesus answered, if anyone walks during the day, he doesn't stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks at night, he does stumble because the light is not with him. He said this and then told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, which would mean, in the ancient vernacular, that he's dead. He's fallen asleep. But I'm on my way to wake him up. Wow, he's going to raise him from the dead. That's what he's saying. Then a disciple said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll get well. And Jesus, however, was speaking about his death, but they thought he was speaking about natural sleep. So Jesus told it to him plainly. He said, look, Lazarus has died. I'm glad for you that I wasn't there so that you might believe, but let's go to him. Let's go get him. Then Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let's go too so that we may die with him. Now, what's he talking about and why is he talking like this? These guys just talk crazy. They're just like us. They just talk crazy talk. Verse 17. When Jesus arrived, he found Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. 4 days dead. Bethany was near Jerusalem, less than 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. Funerals in the day in the Jewish community were a big deal. A lot of people would gather. A lot of people would mourn. A lot of people in your house. You would bury the dead right away. You wouldn't wait like we often wait. And, you know, sometimes we wait months before we do a celebration of life. So they would bury him right away, and people would come and comfort you and would stay, and you would have your days of mourning. When Jesus arrived, he found Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany is near Jerusalem. Many of the Jews had come to comfort them. As soon as Martha had heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary remained seated in the house. And Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. They believed that Jesus had the power. They believed that he was Messiah. They didn't know everything about him, but they sure did know that he had supernatural powers from God. Yet even now I know whatever you ask from God, God will give to you. And so she's holding out hope that maybe Jesus will even raise her brother from the dead. Your brother will rise again, Jesus said. And she said, Lord, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Now there were two groups, two sort of denominations, two movements, the Pharisees who they believed in the resurrection, the Sadducees who didn't. And so she said, I know, at the resurrection he'll rise again. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Now, I think one of the translations says, can you believe this? If you can believe that Jesus is risen from the dead, if you can believe that in your heart and confess it with your mouth, you can be saved. You're putting your trust in Jesus, that Jesus will save me, that just like he rose from the dead, he's the resurrection. He's the resurrection from the dead. And so he can raise up our dead bodies so that we can live forever and ever. She said, yes, Lord. I believe you're the Messiah, the Son of God, who comes into the world. That's what I believe. I believe that he is the Son of God, the Messiah. Having said this, she went back and she called her sister Mary in private, and she said, the teacher's here and is calling for you. As soon as Mary heard this, she got up quickly and she went to him. Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were there with her in the house, consoling her, saw that she got up quickly and they went out, and they followed her, supposing that she was going to go to the tomb to cry. So you never know how it is with people in mourning, you know, what she's doing, and they want to be there to comfort her and make sure she doesn't get overwhelmed, and they think maybe she's going out to the tomb and she's going to cry there. As soon as Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and she told him, she said, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Well, the same thing the other sister said. When Jesus saw her crying and the Jews who had come with her crying, he was deeply moved in his spirit, and he said, where have you put him? Where is he? Where's the body? Lord, they told him, come and see, and Jesus wept. Now, that's the shortest verse in the Bible. If you want to memorize scripture, there's a good place to start. Chapter 11 of John, verse 35, Jesus wept. But there's an awful lot there. Jesus feels the pain. It says that he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You know, Jesus feels this pain. It says in Thessalonians that when people die, we don't grieve as others without hope. We have the hope of the resurrection. So we have a different element, a different dynamic in our grief, in that we know that those loved ones in Jesus, that they'll rise again and we'll see them again. We still grieve. It's still human grieving, the separation of people, something about attachment to people that, you know, just God has made us that way, and crying, you know, they're gone. And Jesus is feeling the same thing. He weeps. He weeps for death. Death was not originally supposed to come into the world. Death came into the world because we sinned, because we rebelled against God. And that's what brought death into the world. You don't want people to be living forever in this sinful state. You don't want, you know, the Hitlers and the Stalins to be, you know, living forever in that state. Sin brings death. And someday in the world to come, in the new world to come, after the resurrection, Jesus will restore everything. So that's what it's all about. It's about creation, God creating people. It's about the fall. We fell away from God. It's about restoration. It's about redemption. He saves us. And then restoration, he restores everything. That's the whole story of the Bible. So the Jews said, see how he loved him? And some of them said, couldn't he have opened he opened a blind man's eyes. Couldn't he keep his friend from dying? Well, just mocking him. Now, there's seven miracles in the Gospel of John, and this is the seventh one. Then Jesus said, Jesus, deeply moved again, Jesus, deeply moved, moved by compassion, came to the tomb. The tomb was a cave. So you go into that area of the world, the Middle East, a lot of the tombs are cave. Where Jesus was, it was not a cave, but it was like a cave because they had dug out a mountainside, and there was a hole in there that was similar to a cave. It was a man-made cave. It was a cave, and the stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, remove the stone. Martha, the dead man's sister, told him, Lord, it's going to stink, man. He's been here for 4 days. And Jesus said, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they removed the stone. They did it. And then Jesus raised his eyes, and he said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd standing here, I said this so that they may believe that you sent me. The miracle of raising this man 4 days from the dead. Now, this isn't necessarily a resurrection. This is a resuscitation because the man's coming back to life, but he will die again. But when he dies the next time, he will be resurrected by Jesus. So there's a difference. The resurrection is forever. Forever. And then later on, we're going to see that some of the enemies of Jesus wanted to kill Lazarus again. Kind of crazy. After he said this, he shouted in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, bound hand and foot with the linen strips, which his face was wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to him, "Unwrap him and let him go. Unwrap him and let him go." And so there's a lesson there, isn't there, that when people are born again, and this guy is sort of is being born again, and at least in the flesh, is that the people around are supposed to help, you know, people around, people who have been bound in their sin, you know, bound in death, you know, help them unwrap those things. That's what other believers do. Help them unwrap all of those awful, awful death rags. And so therefore, many Jews who came to Mary saw what he didn't believe in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. And the chief priests convened with the Sanhedrin, and they were saying, "What are we going to do with this man? Because he's doing so many signs. If we let him keep going on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." Now watch this. One of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said, "You know, you don't know anything at all. You're not considering that it is to your advantage that one man should die for the people rather than the whole nation perish." Wow, Jesus. And that guy's prophesying and doesn't even know it. So Jesus cares, Jesus sees, he raises from the dead, and the resurrection from the dead. So resuscitation, Jesus was able to do it. And this is a sign that Jesus has power over death. But resurrection, he has power over death forever and ever and ever. Put your trust in Jesus. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you too can be saved. And if you are saved, then share that message with your friend, because people are afraid of death. And so there's the message, Jesus Christ, the resurrection.